Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel 22. We were here a couple weeks ago. We've been here for three previous messages, and it was kind of interesting. Brother Paul asked me, I guess it was before we left to go on our trip, he said something about Wednesday night, where we were going to be. And I said, well, we finished all the things in verse 2 of 2 Samuel 22, so I said, I'll have to figure it out. Actually, Pastor was this past Wednesday. So then for tonight, I really looking and praying about what to do, and I thought, well, there's a whole bunch more in verse 3. So you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's read the first three verses and then tell you what we're going to do here tonight. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So if you notice in verse 2, three words preceded by my. So we've already done those. Verse 2, rock, fortress, deliverer. But then look at verse 3. There's more. In fact, there's five more. Verse 3, the God of my rock. Now we won't visit that one again since we did it in verse 2. But we have another one coming up here. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield. So that's where we'll go tonight. I'll finish the verse. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. So tonight is the Lord is my shield. So we've got shield, we've got horn of my salvation, high tower, refuge, and Savior. I got four more messages after this one, just from verse 3. So if you haven't noticed, the way the Lord lays out the Scriptures, He made it to be taught and preached systematically. And you don't have to go get another textbook or a study guide. You look at the Bible. He just lays it out. The word my sets it up to give several messages right there in the same verse. So my shield is where we are tonight. The Lord is my shield. Some things that come to your mind when you think of a shield. What comes to your mind? Say, what'd you say? Insurance. I was going to mention that. Yes. Car shield. How about, speaking of cars, a wind shield. Doesn't that protect you? Okay, what else you got, Miss Charlotte? Protection is usually the thing that comes to mind when you think of a shield. Now, there's a lot that we do for physical protection. You lock your doors at night? There was a day and time where you didn't have to do that, depending on where you lived. If you lived in a small town many years ago, you didn't have to worry about locking your doors, but you better today. What else do you do for your own protection physically? You mentioned insurance. You pay a little bit every month or a lot every month, depending on what kind of insurance it is, so that you don't have to pay a whole lot more if there's an accident or some kind of damage, particularly here in Florida with hurricanes and floods and so forth. So that's protection, so that you don't lose all your money. You pay a little bit of money, so you hopefully don't lose all your money. What else do you do to protect yourself physically? Oh, yes. Weapons, they serve as protection. You can use them defensively or on the offense. Absolutely. And we have freedom to do that. Amen to that. We still do at this time, at least, right? Anything else come to mind? Protection. What do you do to protect yourself physically? Clothing. It's been cold outside, hasn't it? If you went outside in shorts and t-shirt the last few days, you'd literally freeze to death, wouldn't you? Not really. But you'd be cold. And there are places where if you aren't dressed appropriately, you would freeze to death, literally. So lots of things come to mind. Now, that's all physical. I consider every one of those things y'all mentioned, I consider them all to be important. And the reason why they're important is because they keep you alive physically. Protection is for the sake of saving your neck, right? Just keeping you alive. Let's change gears here. What about your spiritual protection? Don't you think that's pretty important? According to what we read there in verse 3, God, it says, He is my shield. That's referring to God. God is your protection. Now, before I get into this, I was thinking about what people do in our world today whenever they need help. And I could go a lot of different directions with this, but I got thinking about who people rely on when they need help. Not talking about all the physical things necessarily we talked about, but when people need help, they're getting themselves into a big mess, whether it be emotionally or even spiritually. And did you know, let me ask you, what do you think is the most popular religion in the world today that people lean on when they need help? What do you think? Okay, I would disagree with you. That's a good one to say. Catholicism was what she said. I had it on here as far as a very popular one, but there's one that's more popular than that, a religion. Scientology is another one people lean on, but that's not what I was thinking of. We go down the list here, atheism even. You say, that's a religion? Well, it sure seems to be in the day we live in. I'll tell you what I believe is the most popular religion in the world today. It's humanism. Because when people get in a mess, they say, I'll take care of it. Or they lean on another person, another man or a woman, to take care of it. And the humanist believes man is the measure of all things. The humanist believes that man has the ability to solve all the problems in the world. The humanist relies on self, seeking help only from himself, herself, or other people, not God. The humanist has bought into the lie of Satan in Genesis 3. Remember what the devil said to Eve? Ye shall be as gods. Man would be a god, little g. Here's the problem with humanism. Man has proved himself over and over throughout history to be a failure. Now, man can accomplish a great deal, but any accomplishment on the part of man is a result of God allowing the man to do something. One of the things that fascinates me is endurance events. And a pastor ran for a long time, and the pinnacle of endurance events for a long time was the marathon. 26.2 miles. That's a long ways. You did some half marathons, right? You ever do the full? One full. That is impressive to me. That is an accomplishment. In the day we live in 2022, a marathon is not a big deal anymore at all. Did you know that? Now you got to run 50 or 100. Or out in Utah, they run a race of 240 miles. That's an endurance event today. Marathon, not that big of a deal anymore. To me, a marathon's a big deal, but what this shows is, oh, look how great man is. Look what man can accomplish. Problem with that is that man could do none of that if God did not give him the ability to do that. So, if you notice in our text that we read, if you read on down through verse 7, you find that there is no glory given to man at all. Because, let's look down here at verse 7. Look at verse 7, what it says. In my distress, I called upon who? The doctor? No. My friend? My family members? No. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. No mention of a man there, because a man can't do anything. And cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. When a man is really in a mess, he'll eventually figure out that nobody can help him except for the Lord. That's why the Lord will allow certain people to experience the lowest of lows to show them they can't fix their problems. And I'd be lying if I told you I never entered my mind, I got that, I can fix that, because I do the same thing. And we often don't resort first and foremost to the Lord when we have problems. But we should result first and foremost to the Lord when we have problems. Amen? He's the one that can fix any problem. He's the one that can solve problems, give us the guidance that we need. So, with that in mind, let's go over to Psalm 8. Just a couple things introduction-wise, and I'll give you three quick points. Psalm 8. Something about man and his relationship with God. Man is certainly not the measure of all things, because God is the one who made man. Look at verse 1, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now watch the next couple verses. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Notice how he goes on to say a couple more things there, but notice how the psalm ends, verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The chapter begins with the Lord and how excellent his name is, and it ends with the same thing. And in the middle there is man. And man came about because man was made by God. And God gave man a responsibility, and that responsibility is to take care of the things that God made down here on earth. So man is sure gives himself a lot of glory that he doesn't deserve. So something else about man. Go to Psalm 139. Man and his relation to God. Man should rely on God for all his needs. But we have this tendency to think, oh, I can take care of things myself. So all this to get us into this study on the shield and how much we need the Lord. But look at Psalm 139:14. This is a great verse when you study science and the human body particularly. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Who made man fearfully and wonderfully? The Lord did. So, I just want to start off here by saying, it's a foolish thing for us, when we are in distress, when we have problems, when we have issues, it's a ridiculous and a foolish thing for us to think that we can solve our own problems. We need the Lord. So, little New Year's message here for all of us, and I need this more as much or more than any of us in here. There will be things in 2023 that are unexpected that come our way. I think everybody in here probably had something, whether it be a minor thing or a major thing. Unexpected things happened in the last year. Amen? That's right. And what are you going to do when unexpected things occur? My prayer is for all of us that we will trust the Lord. I've seen my dad here dealing with my mom and the issues that she's had, and it's been really, really neat on one hand. It's been obviously very difficult on one hand, but on the other hand, it's been really neat to see my dad. He's had his struggles with this, obviously, to be natural, the natural thing to wrestle with and say why and say what is going on, especially when there's no answers given you by the doctors. It's a natural thing to be a little bit discouraged. And I've seen a little bit with my dad, but also I have seen him say, he just said it the other day to me, I've seen him say what he said to me all my life whenever we've had trouble in our family. He said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to trust the Lord. We are going to just trust that He knows what He's doing, and we can't figure everything out, and we're not going to figure everything out. We are going to trust the Lord. So, folks, it's a natural thing to be a little discouraged when things don't happen the way that you want to. That's a natural thing. And you got to go through those emotions and processing. That's good for us to do that. Read the book of Job. What did he do before he really started giving glory to God? He went through all this processing, everything that happened. And then he said, I can't figure everything out. I'm going to trust that God will get me through this. So don't know what's coming for any of us. Let's make sure that we have our heart and mind set on trusting God to get us through it, okay? So, here's some things about the shield. Here's the first point. The Lord is the shield of fidelity. The Lord Himself is. Fidelity has to do with being trusting and loyal to us. So, go to Genesis 15. I'll show you some neat verses on the Lord Himself being our shield. Genesis 15. Previous chapters, God has told Abram, hey, I want you to leave the place that you're so familiar with, and I want you to go to a place you're not so familiar with. But when you get there, I'm going to bless you. And he had to have faith that the Lord would fulfill his word. And if you look at Genesis 15:1, if you read these chapters beginning in chapter 12 and reading on through the life of Abraham, you find out that there are verses where the Lord steps in and just reminds Abram, hey, I'm going to take care of you. And here's one of those verses. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hey, Abraham's just like me and you. He would hear what God said and know what God wanted him to do, but there was still some hesitation on his part. There was still some doubt on his part. He ends up in Hebrews 11 in the Heroes of Faith. But you know all those guys and ladies in Hebrews 11 were just like me and you. And my guess is that they had their times in their life where they thought, how's God going to do that? And they had to come to the place where they said, I don't know how he's going to do it. But he said he's going to do it, so I'm going to trust him that he's going to do it. And God protected Abram. By the way, you find out Abram went down to Egypt. He wasn't supposed to go down there. You know what God did, even though he's in the wrong place? He protected him. And he protected Sarah. Some interesting things happened with that whole deal with them leaving and going down there, but the Lord protected them. Let's go to Deuteronomy 33. The Lord is the shield of fidelity. He can always be trusted. He will always come through. Deuteronomy 33. Seems like sometimes the Lord doesn't hear you. Seems like sometimes the Lord's not going to come through. And I've seen this over and over in my life. The Lord comes through just in the nick of time. You ever pray about something and you want an answer now? Because we always want answers immediately, right? And the Lord doesn't give you an answer immediately. And you pray for a week and he still hadn't given you an answer. And you pray for a month and he still hadn't given you an answer. And then it gets to be a couple of months. And here you are down to the wire. And you say, I got to have an answer by Monday. Here it is. It's Saturday. I got to have an answer by Monday. And the Lord comes through on Sunday night or Monday morning. You ever seen that happen? Seen that time and time again. The Lord tests you, doesn't he? Are you going to continue to pray through and persevere in your prayer? Or are you going to just say, oh, forget it. I guess he's not going to take care of me this time. The Lord wants you to continue to pray on. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't the Bible say that? Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Okay, Deuteronomy 33. Look down there at verse 29. This is to the Israelites. The Lord says, 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, save by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Notice in that verse, the Lord is not only a shield, what else is he? You see it? A sword. So, in sports, if you want to compete, if you want to stay in the game, you better have a good defense. That's what the shield does, right? But if you want to go on to victory, you have to be able to score, don't you? And you need a little bit of offense as well. And in that verse, you've got the defense, the shield, and you've got the offense, the sword. Pretty neat there. So the Lord, He is the shield. Go to 2 Samuel 22. I should have shown you this while we're over there, but turn back there. 2 Samuel 22, and you'll see, going down further in the chapter, going on to verse 33, another mention here of shield. 2 Samuel 22:33. The Lord is the shield of fidelity. He can always be trusted. 22:33. Y'all there? For who is... Start in 33. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the what? Shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. So this will be the last thing on the Lord being the shield of fidelity. What is it that ultimately keeps you safe spiritually? It is your salvation through Jesus Christ, right? Now, who keeps you saved? Who keeps you saved? It's not you and it's not me. If it was up to me or you, we'd lose it. It's the Lord who keeps us saved. You want to get specific, it's the Holy Spirit who seals us to keep us saved. But your spiritual protection begins with salvation. But you also need to be aware of living the Christian life. You need a shield. So before I get to that shield, let's talk about shields that will do you no good. Shields of failure. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Just a couple things on this. This is David and Goliath chapter, 1 Samuel 17. And you'll notice that old Goliath, he had a shield. But you'll notice something about that shield. Actually, go to start off verse 4. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. Let's start there. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had, watch this, all his armor. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Now, before I read verse 7, I see Goliath went to great lengths to have all kinds of protection, didn't he? All kinds of things mentioned there. And then in verse 7, there's a fellow that goes in front of him that has a shield. I kind of think that Goliath might have had a little insecurity problem, even though he's a giant. He had all that armor on, but there was still some fear on his part. Now go down there to verse, I won't read all the account here, it's a great account, but I want to go down to verse 44. Go down to the end of the chapter here. 44. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Now, what's going to be better? A sword, a spear, and a shield? Or the name of the Lord of hosts? You know who prevails here. That shield fails him. And if you go on here, look at verse 49. It says, "And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." So it sounds to me like Goliath's shield was not ready for the stone that was hurled at his head. Very interesting there. Little side note here, we've talked about types in the Bible. Goliath suffered a head wound, didn't he? It was a head wound that did him in. And you go on there, David actually cut his head off. You know what he might be a type of? You know what he is a type of? Over in Genesis 3:15, it said that the serpent's head would be bruised, right? Who's going to bruise the head of the serpent? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that Goliath, you see Goliath there, he's a type of the Antichrist there. Very interesting there how that all fits together. Go over to 2 Chronicles 14. One more thing on shields of failure. And what I'm saying here is man goes to great lengths to protect himself. And oftentimes his means of protection fail. Folks, you can lock your doors. You can have insurance. You can go to great lengths. You can have a weapon or multiple weapons. You can go to great lengths for protecting yourself. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. But ultimately, you know who's going to keep you safe? The Lord. He's the one who's going to keep you safe. In fact, if you do have something for your own personal protection, that's only going to work if the Lord helps you out with that. And there's been all kinds of accounts of people that even though they had personal protection, it was the Lord that kept them safe and even helped them in those situations, wielding a weapon. Okay, 2 Chronicles 14. Look at verse 8. Shields of failure. Look at this here. What happens here with a foreign army against the Israelites. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 240,000, all these were mighty men of valor. So that's a giant army. They have shields. They have spears. Look at verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. And then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath and Mareshah. Okay, so notice so far we've got two armies. They're going to fight, and they both have protection, they have weapons on the offensive, right? Look what interesting thing happens in verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, "Lord, It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Now, before I read verse 12, it's really neat. They were armed and they had shields. I'm talking about Asa's army, right? The other army is armed and they got protection as well. They got offensive, defensive weapons. Who did Asa rely on? In spite of having those shields and spears, he called on the Lord to help him. And look what happens in verse 12. They didn't need the swords and the shields. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And you find out they got a lot of spoil as a result of that. Who took care of them? Now, they had the weapons, they had the defense, but who took care of them? The Lord did. That's a great reminder. We can do a lot of things for our own personal protection. Ultimately, the Lord's going to protect you. So, last thing here. We had the shield of fidelity, being the Lord Himself. We got shields of failure. The things that we do oftentimes can fail. Nothing wrong with making preparation. Understand they're not always reliable. The Lord is always reliable. Let's go to the New Testament here. You probably knew where I was going to end up here. Let's talk about the shield of faith. Actually, tell you what, before we go to the New Testament, go to Proverbs 30. We'll hit the New Testament here after this. Proverbs 30. Now, when I think of the word faith, I think of trust. I think of believing. And those all go together. What exactly is the object of our faith? Well, take a look here at Proverbs 30, verse 5. Really good verse. Lots of different things you can do with this verse. But let's take a look at the word shield. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Interesting how God's Word is mentioned there before God is mentioned as a shield. Showing us that there is a connection between being protected and trusting in God, specifically His Word. You know, there's great protection for me and you when we take God at His Word and believe Him. Amen? Now go to the New Testament here. Let's end up over here. You probably knew we were going to hit this at some point. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and you find the armor of God here. And there, I know I read this for a long time and I missed it. What it says here about the shield of faith, that's really neat. And a lot more here than we got time to take a look at, but I'll just point something out to you, get your wheels turning before we go. Look at Ephesians 6. Look at verse 13. We'll get a little bit of the armor of God here. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. By the way, you need all of it, don't you? Not just one piece or two pieces. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So this is for your own spiritual protection. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's God's word. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, verse 16, look at the first two words of verse 16. What does it say? Above all. Now, he's already mentioned your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet with the gospel of peace. That's three so far. And then notice what he says here. Above all, what do you need? Taking the shield of faith. Indicating by those two words, above all, there's an importance on that particular piece of the armor, right? Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now look what the rest of the verse says. Here's why. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Guess who's shooting fiery darts at me and you constantly? The devil. You could say the world even. The world has an agenda. The devil has an agenda that he uses the world to carry out. And these darts are coming at you all the time. Now, I could give you some names. I'm not going to give you names. You can think of people in your own life who you can see from afar. They've had darts hit them right in the heart. Fiery darts hit them right in the heart. Saved people, by the way. And the darts got them. And they're walking around wounded. You know what happened to them? They had that shield of faith up. They let their guard down, and they let those fiery darts get the best of them. And today, they look and live a life as if they don't know Jesus Christ. But I know of a time in their life when they got saved, they were living for the Lord, and you know what they did? The shield went from here down to the side, and they dropped it. Folks, what is the most attacked verse in your Bible, in my opinion? But I believe the most attacked verse in the Bible is the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Is that under attack? I mean, you have to, nowadays, you don't just witness to people first. You got to convince them that God is the creator of the universe, right? You got to get that down first, because that verse has been so attacked. The darts have been thrown over and over at that verse. Now people, they question. They think, oh man, maybe God's not the creator. You know what they're doing whenever they say something like that? They're taking that shield and putting it down. I'm talking about saved people. Start to question. They put that shield down. So hey, 2023, you know what you need? You need a shield. You need a shield of faith. Where's your faith? Your faith should be in this book. Now, here's a good little challenge for all of us. All of us. Pick up the shield every day. Make sure you're taking this and protecting yourself every day, because the darts are coming. Now, you might go a day or two that there's no darts. But don't get comfortable and complacent. Put your shield down, because they're coming. So make sure you got that shield at the ready. You need protection. You need that shield of faith. Hey, I can tell you people whose faith has been shaken. And it's been shaken by the world, but not just by the world. There's a time where they decided to take the Bible and say, I'm putting it aside. And when you put the Bible aside and don't pick it up daily, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to take on the world by myself. Humanism! And you'll fail every time. Now, I know I'm talking to saved people. I need this myself. We all need this. We have a tendency to say, I can handle things. Reminder for all of us, we can't handle things. We need the Lord to handle things. Let the Lord be your shield. Okay? Hope that helped you a little bit tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we go here. Thank you, Lord, for your words. We always need them every day. I pray that 2023 be a year, and even the days, we still got a few days before then, these days leading up, we would take up the shield of faith every day. And may our faith in your word not be shaken. May it be strengthened. May we trust in you even more so this year than ever before. No matter what the world does, no matter what the world says about you or your words, strengthen us, help us. Lord, you know what's ahead for all of us. We don't. I pray that you would even equip us now to be ready and to just trust you for whatever may come our way this upcoming year. The good things, the difficult things, the blessings, as well as the unexpected things. May we just be ready and trust you for the outcome of all those. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.